don't know that we have insight yet into the level of operational compliance with this. And I think that would be really, really, really informative to this community if we had that kind of insight from the network accreditor types. It would also probably allow us to discover what technologies people are using on networks today and maybe which deserve to have a requirements document written. There are certainly some technology areas, like say SOHO routers, where there's plenty of like really, really, really scary stuff in the press, but we don't know how many of those might be wandering around on, say, critical networks, right? And again, I'm not claiming we need to write a protection profile for that yet, but it would certainly be a driver for us to do something if we knew they were installed on a lot of those security critical networks. And so there's one other angle on the network accreditation piece, and that's that some of these network accreditor controls are achieved by implementing certain configuration settings for individual IT products, and that's a valid thing to do. I mean, Scott mentioned this in the last presentation as well. It's like you want to make sure things are configured properly. And indeed, for years, as part of both CC and FIPS evaluations, there has been administrative guidance that's produced. Often, this wasn't operationally useful because it might simply describe how the test lab set up the environment, but it wouldn't actually have anything to do with how people operationally in the real world set up the environment. And I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't answer the mail for those folks operationally deploying things, with some exceptions, right? There might be some cases where a strange configuration is needed just for the lab setup, but I think that should still be an exception. And so to sort of try to speak to this audience and this need, NIAP will first, with a minor revision to the OS protection profile, hopefully this week or next week, be providing configuration annexes to assist vendors and labs in this process of producing this guidance in a way that's operationally meaningful and is consistent and helps network creditors with the right references have it be useful to them too. And so this will also help address another problem, which is there are a variety of other sources, particularly in the U.S., who are providing configuration guides and having these masquerade as a product approval or a product evaluation of some sort. So this is something that, you know, is very strange, but I believe if we do this, we can do that by answering both pieces of mail at once, getting the product an actual evaluation and producing operationally useful configuration guidance for both the end user and for to include network accreditors and network assessors. And so the last major sort of theme that we're asked about frequently is about having confidence in new technology. The cloud is one huge example, and I was happy to see that Yi Mao will be presenting on how do we do FIPS in the cloud, or how does FIPS provide value in the cloud. And indeed, that presentation, or the abstract for it that I read, spoke to the complexity of this, right? And what is the role of, say, CC or FIPS in the cloud itself? And how does that relate to FedRAMP? Well, as I mentioned before, there is this set of controls used by network accreditors to try to accredit an entire network. That's typically higher level stuff. It shouldn't be in the nitty gritty. It should be about whether there are perimeter defenses in place, do they exist, is there a backup system in place. A lot of it is sort of process related or high level functionality related for the network as a whole. But CC, of course, gives evaluation of the individual IT components that are actually in the overall cloud infrastructure. And FIPS, of course, provides validation of the cryptographic modules. So how it is we can make the value of CC and FIPS more apparent to cloud evaluations and indeed create some efficiencies for them is an ongoing effort we have too. Nicely, there is that particular control that says the items in the overall information system should be evaluated, and that's required at least with the rapidly changing requirements in DoD, that is required for higher sensitivity levels, and it was at least recommended as part of FedRAMP, which was a multi-year effort for that's federal government risk authorization and management program, I think, for cloud accreditations within the federal government in the U.S. So a related question there is, like, where should we first say we'd like to see CC or FIPS evaluations within the cloud? Which components do we care most about? The ones we're focused on right now are virtualization software, like the hypervisor itself. Like, I think right now we've recently revised into new formats, but we have a server virtualization protection profile, because one of the most critical things in a cloud is, and indeed the sort of the the main reason clouds provide so much more efficiency is that you have a limited set of hardware being able to provide systems as needed to a huge number of users. And so virtualization is a big part of that, or is key to that. And so knowing that, say, one client can't just peer into the data of another client is critical to privacy and security guarantees made in the cloud. So that's a point. Another point, of course, or another potential component that could be we could seek evaluation for is operating systems and network devices. I think the network devices, ITC has been working hard on the network device collaborative protection profile for a while now, and I think it is applicable to large portions of what's in a cloud infrastructure today. Obviously, there are some things like software-defined networking that are too new to have been captured yet inside one of these structured requirements documents, but I think we'll eventually get there. So we already have some play in the cloud, but it's not fully mature. Quantum cryptography is, unlike, say, the cloud, it's not already a reality everywhere today, but something like a quarter of this conference seems to be focused on it, so I think there's certainly lots of activity going on, and we're listening to the needs, or are sensitive to the needs of end users there. Another frequent question regarding certifications regards authentication mechanisms. There have been a variety of protection profiles historically for things like smart cards or other token-like things. Something that's new and interesting now, of course, is people using their mobile devices for everything. And so one effort that I think will bear fruit is the dedicated security components protection profile effort that's being led by a variety of industry partners. And that'll let you have confidence that what's in your phone is sufficient to protect credentials. And I don't know if anybody else here uses their phone to like pay at the cash register or anything. But anybody use their phone to pay at the cash register? Yeah, it's great, right? But the reason it's great is because it takes like 3 seconds, right? And then they ask you if you want a receipt, and you're like, no thanks, I've already got it right here on my phone. So you can be off quickly, right? So so that's another area generally, in addition to things like multi-factor authentication tokens and that kind of thing, where people are looking for confidence in new technology, and where I think we're at least partially answering the mail today. And then the last one, I'm looking forward to the presentation about this. I forget if it's tomorrow or the next day here at this conference, talking about the incredible complexity of all the different things on the internet and whether those are at all appropriate for evaluation today. Google released Android Things, I think, earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, so that may produce some degree of stability in the space, perhaps, such that they could eventually be suitable for a structured evaluation program. But again, this is a space that's, as I mentioned earlier, is just moving so fast that it's difficult to say a sort of structured validation program is really appropriate at this time. At the same time, is it a security risk? Yes. But again, if it's moving so quickly, we can't even lock onto something to evaluate, it may not make sense. And so one last thing I'll mention is, the challenge we have is clarity, of course, because there are always a variety of other certification approaches that could come and go. Miguel Banyun is going to speak to that at the conference as well with regard to the EU Commission and their efforts to stand up some kind of frameworks for certification and how CC might play in that. And I'm looking forward to his view on that. Within the US, of course, I know that everyone here has asked for a variety of certifications from a variety of parties claiming to represent a variety of authorities. I would say that in terms of U.S. government policy, whether it's CNSS Policy 11 or DoD Instruction 8500, those all do point very clearly at NIAP's Common Criteria Program in the U.S. and FIPS validation. So, again, this is an ongoing problem and creates a lot of confusion for the end user as well as industry here. I'm sure you all know that. I just wanted to recognize that we can manage all this confusion together with some careful messaging and pointing at the established programs that we know have been with us for a long time and remain strong. So I think I have some time for questions then, right? All right. Anybody? Yes, sure. Yeah, sure.
Sorry, we don't have a microphone yet, so can you just repeat the question?
Yeah, I can repeat your question if you'd like.
Covers a lot more than the network. It covers all the way up the application.
Yeah, and I think the configuration annex bit is oh, sorry. Yeah, so the question is how about, we've been making noises about this for about a year, right? About how it is we're going to make sure that when the overall information system is put together, thinking generally about it as a network, how can we make sure that accredited products are used and make sure that the network accreditors are you know, looking for evaluated products as part of that. And we've had, again, we've been discussing it internally for a year, and I think the configuration annexes are supposed to start answering the mail there for folks who are assessing networks, and it'll include the references to the NIST documents as needed. So what we really need is for that to gain some momentum, and then I believe that'll create efficiencies there. Yeah. So yeah, those are great questions. The first question was asserting that Windows isn't commonly used in national security systems. I know that's not true. But to your question about like what constitutes an NSS, right? It's like any network that is classified or is involved in military or intelligence activities is NSS. The actual definition is in CNSSI 4009, but I'm sort of at least giving a high level review of it. I'm aware of a great number of Windows Server systems used in classified networks and in other systems that are involved in military intelligence activities, and indeed the product is evaluated as well. So for future versions of it that are evaluated, our hope is that the 853 control mapping that's already provided as part of the OSPP, as well as the control mappings that are provided in the configuration annex for that next version of the OSPP, will help network creditors know that they already have this set of controls that's satisfied by that particular product. Sure. So it does appear, based on some press reporting from a few days ago, that DISA will be with us a little bit longer. For now, there has been overlap for a while, right, with regard to those activities from a variety of sources. The long-term goal, of course, is to try to reduce that overlap. And it's not clear why some configuration guidance is being produced when it's already available elsewhere. Well, it already exists from a variety of sources.
Right.
Yeah.
So you sort of said something counter to your earlier point.
I know.
Kind of said there's a variety of sources, so it's, why are we duplicating it? But now you're duplicating it.
Well, no, I think that the work and effort that's already put into creation of administrative guidance as part of a real product evaluation, I think that if that is simply adjusted in a way that can be useful and is supported by industry, there wouldn't be much need for anything else to exist.
Thank you.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. So, great question. It was about the, I guess whether it's CC evaluated configuration, FIPS evaluated configuration, or CC mode or FIPS mode, and then also issuances from DISA regarding you know, hardening guidance and that kind of thing. And you're right. There's a whole lot of confusion and overlap and multiple voices there. I think presentations later today from NIST and NIAP working together, I think there's an opportunity to question the presenters there on how that could work. And then as for the other things, I think over time it'll just depend on what industry is willing to support for the end user themselves.
So I think we'll have to cut it short there. Join me in thanking Jeff for his briefing and the questions. You can always capture Jeff if he's allowing himself to be captured out in the hallways. Let's see if I can make this work. Oh, yeah, I hope not. No, it's trying to find the presentation mode. They moved it. Used to be in the bottom left. Is it done? Oh, slideshow.